Shut up. The foot is on
Sunday.
This is one of those days.
The day of rest.
When you wake up.
The time for reflection.
The birds are chirping.
To take stock.
You're smelling the clippings off the lawn.
Except on Triple M. This is the Sunday Rub.
The Diamond Day sale has been extended. See your local Mitsubishi dealer today.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
MCG's your venue on this Sunday afternoon. The Sunday Rub has been moved forward an hour so we can give you all the coverage from an enormous clash between the West Coast Eagles and the Tigers at the mighty MCG. Breezy day, but it is sunny. Can't wait for this one to start in just over an hour's time. What about Brisbane last night? Dane Zorko will join us after a one-point win over the Cats. The big three, so much to get through, and we need to talk about the cricket at some stage as well, which we do, about Smitty and Archer and all that. But we need to talk football, and I look around at this crew. Rodney Eade in a nice sort of baby blue sweater joins us. Hello to you, Rocket.
Hello, Howie, and you've got your shirt on again that you've got out of the dog basket.
Yes, thank you, Rocket. I haven't exactly prepared that well. Jay-Z's here in the world's puffiest jacket. Hello to you, Jay-Z.
You can't live in Melbourne and be a father without a black puffer jacket, can you? I mean, you go down to Auskick on a Saturday morning or whatever, there are hundreds of the things.
There are. I've got mine on. You look like you're going up Mount Kilimanjaro at the moment and always smooth. The ducky tee. Hello, ducky boy.
I can assure you I haven't got a puffer jacket like that because I'm a cool dad.
No swatter today. He's calling the 3:20 game. We'll be joined by Tony Armstrong to call the game, which we're really looking forward to as Tone makes his debut on Triple M Footy. Dane Zorko not too far away from joining us. But, Jay-Z, normally we do the 3:20 game,
yes.
But the powers that be said this is the game of the round, which is why we're here.
Game of the round, it's almost the game of the season. I would say, Howie, I mean, you've got Richmond, probably the most informed team in the competition. No Sydney Stack, who hurt his ankle yesterday, of course, and no Trent Cotchin either. Toby Nankervis been arrested for this one. Up against West Coast, and I'm fascinated, boys, in the contrast of styles here, because we've got the fast play Tigers versus the slow and controlled intercepting West Coast Eagles, Howie. So it's going to be a ripper game.
We're going to get to that game in a moment, but what about the Brisbane Lions? I was in the Barwon Heads Hotel yesterday afternoon, Jay-Z. I was the one Brisbane supporter amongst 999 cats.
Apple ciders.
No, I had a couple of shandies yesterday, Duck. I really let my hair down, and there were some disappointed punters as the Cats went down, especially when it was their former boy, Lincoln McCarthy, that did this in the closing stages.
Past the Witherden, he kicks back and scores! McCarthy's taken a streamer! An absolute screamer, McCarthy, 20 out directly in front! Oh, he comes in, everyone's on their feet, no one's on their seats. They're all up and standing, McCarthy has given Brisbane a lead! The Lions have hit the front of the Gabba!
10 seconds left, ball in dispute, out of sight, a win for the Lions to be over the boundary line. Harry Taylor kicks it in, no throw it out. Brisbane have pulled off a remarkable win by a point. 1-2, you couldn't ask for any better. We love it here on Triple M Footy.
Champs going off his chops, doing a nice job. Our man, Will, who produces this show, as you know, Duck, massive Brisbane fan. He was in tears last week. He's like, oh, no, Zorko's done his hamstring. He's going to be out for 6 months. We're never going to see him again. We can't win the premiership. That was not the case. And he joins us on the line now from the Brisbane Lions. Dane Zorko. Dane, great to see you. Speak to you. How are you going?
Yeah, good, guys. I just listened to a bit of that background noise. It gave me goosebumps again.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting, wasn't it? You've been up there a long time. This is probably the most highest level of excitement this footy club's had for a period of time. What was it like out there in the closing 4 or 5 minutes, especially when you were 3 goals down?
Yeah, I think the pleasing thing is we didn't panic, and a couple of decisions certainly didn't go our way in that last 4 or 5 minutes, but we were able to continuously grind out the game. And for Link McCarthy to be able to stand up in that moment, who, you know, would tell you himself he was having a dirty day up until then. But the great thing about being a forward is you can certainly change the game with a mark or a kick, and he was able to do that. And then the composure for the last 2 minutes to not let Geelong score, who, for the majority of the day, I certainly felt like if we did the goal, they got a quick reply. So very pleasing that we're able to hang on in the end.
Hey, Dane, we spoke to you yesterday before the game, and BT, he's been a bit of a critic, reckons you've beaten no one. You had to beat a team like Geelong to be taken seriously. You must take a lot of confidence out of that. I know, and you're right, you were right in your answer saying you can only beat who's put in front of you. Well, now you've beaten a team that everyone's saying is a premiership chance.
Yeah, look, very pleased with that. I don't think we played nowhere near our best football yesterday, but credit to the Cats. They're the number one defensive team in the comp, and they certainly made it difficult for us to score. And that's why they've been at the top all year. So we certainly take a lot of confidence out of that, and probably a lot of confidence in the fact that we weren't able to play our game style, you know, the way we probably wanted to, but we were still able to kick a score that enabled us to win. So there's certainly a lot of growth areas to come out of that game, which is really pleasing, but to get the result and probably to take the game on with, you know, only 8 minutes to go, and really we weren't able to bridge that gap of three goals the whole day, and then to be able to do that in the last 5 or 6 minutes, you know, shows that we can win in different ways, which I think is a really good sign.
Dane, over the season, you've had some close wins where you've come back in the last quarter. Where's that belief come from? Because obviously there was a lot of belief there in the last quarter to be able to kick those, as you mentioned, three goals in the last 8 minutes. Is it the fact that, now, and there's a lot of different ways you can get belief, but is it actually practicing those close games? Is it the close games from last year you've learnt, or is it just an inner belief within the group from the training and everything?
I think it's a combination of the two, and I think certainly last year, having those close losses and reviewing the tapes and learning from those, and I guess as players understanding that you don't have to be the hero, but how can you set up the game so someone else can be, and not trying to go over the top, stick to our process. And I think that's something that we certainly learnt last year with all our close losses, and then, you know, the wins that we've had by 1 point this year, we've certainly learned from that last year. And blokes have just stuck to their roles, executed the game plan perfectly, and we've been able to get, you know, be on the positive side of those. So I think it's a combination of the two. And, you know, we've been a strong second-half team all year, I'd say. Our first halves haven't been great, but we know if we're thereabouts in the second half that we've certainly got the capabilities of scoring and getting over the line. We're able to do that yesterday.
We are speaking to Brisbane Lions star Dane Zorko on the Sunday Rub. Here's Jay Clark.
Dane, interesting after the match, Geelong coach Chris Scott said he didn't think Charlie Cameron was all that influential. I think he had five snags. What was your take on how influential the speedy forward was?
Yeah, well, I think if you kick five goals, you've gone pretty well for yourself. Well, that's obviously Chris's opinion, and that's all right. Charlie executed his role perfectly for us yesterday. He was able to provide a target for us down forward, and he got on the end of a couple and kicked some really crucial goals, you know, throughout the whole day, not just necessarily in the last quarter. He kept us in touch the whole time. Every time in the first half he got an opportunity to get a goal, he didn't. You know, he only needs half a dozen touches to have an impact on the game, and he was able to do that yesterday.
All Australian form, you'd think, and what a recruit he's been. Now, I think footy fans are still going to have a bit of a question mark on you, Dane. I still think heading into September, we're all going to be looking forward to see what you deliver. Do you think the game style will stand up on the big stage under finals heat?
Yep, I certainly think it will. You know, we've built our game style around a finals style game plan, and, you know, we only haven't played Richmond this year, who I think we probably played similar mould to them, and we know how good they've been over the past 4 years. So, yeah, I guess we'll wait and see, but, you know, we're doing everything right at the moment, and our process seems to be holding up.
Sorry, Dane, keep going.
You're right. No, you're right. No, it's good.
Will you get together today, sit back and watch the Tigers play?
I think we all will individually. We won't be meeting up with a group, but... you know, we'll be certainly paying a close attention to them and West Coast. Looks like we could be playing either one of those in September. So we'll certainly be watching that closely, and have to talk about them later on in the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Rest up this week with an 8-day break. So really looking forward to the week ahead for us.
As are we, Dane. Appreciate your time. Good luck to you and the Lions for the rest of the season.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Dane Zorko joining us on the Sunday Road. What are you grinning about, Chuckles?
I'm just wondering how far they can go. Rocket, how far can Brisbane go in September?
How far can they go? They can go all the way.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they can. I don't think they will, but they can.
I agree.
They've won a lot of different ways. They've got plan A, and that has been blocked up, like Geelong blocked it up yesterday, and they found a way to win. So they've got belief, and that's a real key factor. They've got belief. And be able to come from behind... they've got a good balanced side. They've got some inexperience as for finals, but I think they've got enough around them the way they've won this year that they can go all the way. I don't think they will, but I certainly wouldn't underestimate them.
Recent history tells us they can. I mean, what's gone on over the last 3 or 4 years? The
underdogs, Tigers.
The underdogs have got up. So there's no doubt they can. And the one thing I think that they'll take out of, and Dane just explained it to us, is that they won in a way that you know, they didn't need to be free-flowing and play their natural game. They fought it out and they pinched a win. So
yeah, that's right. They hung tough.
Yep, they're winning in different ways. And you know, people say, and they're right, they've had a really good draw, but a couple of their wins away this year have been huge. I mean, the one against Port Adelaide, I mean, they were putrid last night against the Kangaroos, but they were going really well when Brisbane beat them in Adelaide. So they've gone away, they've won games away. They won tough yesterday against a side that, you know, is the best defensive team in the competition. So they will take a lot of confidence out of that. And I think they can go all the way. If things go right for them, you need a little bit of luck in this game. And, you know, Sydney Stack, we're hearing, has hurt himself in the VFL yesterday. You know, a couple of teams get injuries. You never know.
Luke Hodge, imagine with a fifth premiership medallion around his neck, Ducky. It's quite extraordinary.
Or you'll be barracking for the Lions, won't you?
Yeah, I'm pretty keen. Hey, I wasn't here last week, obviously. One of my little...
How are you?
Kids was crook. But listen, something happened 2 weeks ago on this show. I know we don't take things very seriously on this show, but something happened 2 weeks ago that has been bugging me and it's been sitting with me. I'm just going to play you back a little bit of audio. I made a big mistake on this show. I don't normally like to go back over mistakes, but this is what happened 2 weeks ago on the Sunday, Rob. Who will win the first test, Schwatter?
The Poms.
The Poms, Jay-Z.
Yeah, I think the English.
Unfortunately, the Poms.
Poms?
You? I think Steve Smith will win it for the Australians. Listen, and I went on. I unfortunately went on to say Steve Smith would make 150, and that's why I've got to apologise, because he only made 142, and I feel sick that I've let you down, Jay-Z. Predicting Australia would win from an almost unwinnable position. So apologies to you, Rodney, and to everyone, because obviously you're the cricket expert. Hey, what happens tonight, though? What happens tonight? Well, it was extraordinary last night, Rocket. I know you watched a lot, Jay-Z. Rocket, you watched a lot. Jofra Archibong at 155 clicks. Steve Smith coming back out after the concussion protocol. Wickets, bounces. How good?
Certainly worry about our batting.
Yes.
There's a real concern, and the hit on his head or his neck, how that affects him. I think we said off air, hopefully we're not chasing too much more than, you say 150, but 180 would really test us.
Rocket, just on that, right, what does Jofra Archer owe Smith in that moment? So he hits him in the neck, Smith's down on the ground, all his teammates go to him, Archer turns around and goes back to
his
bar.
It's old school what he did.
Do we accept that anymore or not? Howie?
100%.
That's okay?
Yep.
Rocket?
Yeah, you do, because he's...
He's been smashed.
He has. The only rider you put on there is what happened to Phil Hughes, and you'd sort of that if something serious had happened to him, then the limelight, oh, not the limelight, the spotlight comes back onto Archer and his, and he'd probably get critiqued very heavily. But
I put it to you though, these two play together in the IPL, so they know each other very, very well. I put it to you that it's almost gone 180 degrees the other way, that the bowler can potentially be really, really flat as to what he's done to the batsman. He's got to get on with the bowling job, and he probably doesn't want to go down there and have a chat to Steve Smith and see some of the actual damage he's caused. So it's very hard to put yourself in Jofra's head. But gee whiz, he's set up tonight. I'm going to ask you again,
isn't that what he's trying to do? He's trying to cause that damage? You don't bowl short if you're not trying to cause damage.
Well, you're trying to intimidate them.
Well, that's right.
Absolutely. And he intimidated him, didn't he?
I think... Most people would go down there and make sure he's all right, given exactly what has happened. But given that he had support around him straight away, in his mind he probably thinks, well, he's got what he needs down there. What's the point of one more?
That could be the ball that wins
the
Ashes.
And the intimidation thing.
It could well be the ball that wins the Ashes.
Really?
It could be
because
you don't know
the scarring effect and the effect of... Because he's got concussion.
Body line sort of...
Well, the Australians bounced Jofra Archer, so it was always going to come back the other
English
way.
Well, the English bounced... Well, the body line series, you know, Bradman was the man and they went after him in the same sort of fashion.
Back to 1932 now.
Well, isn't that what we do?
Okay. Rocket remembers that as a young
kid. Well, everyone's comparing Smith to Bradman.
You're right. Hey, okay, I'll ask you because obviously only one of us got it right after day three of the first test last week. The result tonight, Jay-Z, all four options are up for grabs. A win for either side, a tie or a draw. The money would be
on
the draw.
Hang on, isn't a tie a draw?
No, a tie is when both teams are on the same number of runs, Ducky boy.
Okay.
Jay-Z?
Yeah, I thought before the test I've been thinking draw, so I'll stick with draw, but it's set up magnificently.
Duck?
Well, given that I haven't watched much of it, because I've been doing what I'm paid to do, and that's watch the footy.
Duck, that we're not allowed to have a life outside of work.
I'm joking. I'll go with a draw.
A draw for you, Rocket?
I still think a draw, and if everyone picks a draw, should we go about who would win?
Well, I'm not picking a draw.
I think I don't think England can win.
Okay.
So I would think second for me is Australia win.
I think Australia will chase down 180 and there'll be 8 wickets down when they do it. And she's going to be a long, late night. But hopefully it's good cricket. And hopefully Stevie Smith can get back out there because he will have to do another concussion protocol test this morning. Late change for the West Coast Eagles. What's happening there?
Will Schofield, the West Coast veteran defender, out managed. So he'll be a little sore. Josh Rotham, the youngster, comes in. Gee, she's a great game today, boys.
Was supposed to be the second semi-final of the quiz today. I believe you got through last week, Rocket. You straight through to the grand final. How'd you go against Jay-Z?
Duck cheated.
Did he?
Yep.
Duck wasn't in the... He wasn't in it.
Yeah, he gave him the answers.
No, he didn't. Which one did he give me?
The last one was the one that I
saw. He said Riewoldt and I said Pavlich. So Pavlich was the answer.
So he said Nick Riewoldt, did he? So he was talking.
That's what he told me afterwards.
Okay, boys. I think we've established that Rocket is into the final. Duck, you were leading the competition.
I was causing havoc without even being in there.
Well, that's pretty much the way you roll, not just in the quiz. You were meant to be playing Swatter today for the second spot, but he hasn't turned up.
He's run scared.
Yeah, he's gone for the 3-20 game. So congratulations, you're through to the final.
Thank you. He did say last week he more or less was... You know, thought he was going to get beat. Anyway.
Well, he hasn't had a win all year. No. So next Sunday on the
I am minor premier, so I should have probably gone straight through anyway.
So you've got the is it still called the McClellan Trophy or no? What are they called?
Yes, it is.
You've got that bit. So you take on Rodney Eade next Sunday. So we're looking forward to that. Jay-Z.
Yep.
Collingwood ventured across the border to Adelaide and dished out one of their better performances this season, in the end defeating Adelaide by 66 points.
Been a bit of a tumultuous week at Collingwood, fair to say, with the basketball issue which surrounded Braden Selwa. We'll get to that in a second, but it was an outstanding performance. 3 wins in a row. Now the Pies, I think some people wrote them off a month ago, but they certainly turned that ship around last night. And it's Jamie Elliott who lit up the forward half. He's fantastic, but in the back half, boys, with a defensive work was outstanding. Limited Adelaide to 39 inside 50s. And to come in next week against Essendon, they got Darcy Moore. Geordie to go. He comes in the week after, you'd think, or the game after in the first final. They are well set up, Rocket. I know we had doubts over them about a month ago, but can you turn the momentum so significantly in 3 weeks? It feels like they've done that.
Yeah, they have. And I think it's exciting for them with Tagoe and Stevenson back. The only concern on that is the amount of time they've had out.
When's Stevenson back?
First final.
Does he come straight back in, Rocket?
Yes.
After a period off?
Only in terms of, I know that, but I would play.
Okay. Yeah.
And but it's the same with Tagoe. He'll be back after missing 4 weeks. Is he missed 3 games on the bye, so for 4 weeks. So they'll be okay first up after a spell, as the horse parlance. So they would think they'll be okay. But to carry them for 4 weeks, if, say, they finish fifth, I think it's a big ask. But certainly the momentum's back their way. They get some confidence out of yesterday's game. They started to turn it last week, and they had a bad last quarter against Melbourne. So I think they're starting to get some elements back in their team. Their height is going to be that issue, I think, as well.
They want Richmond to lose today so they can sneak into the top four. They're the vulnerable one, the Tigers. So Collingwood
explain that to me.
Cheering for Richmond to lose. So will Richmond... can overtake them today as I bring up the ladder. So they're the vulnerable team inside the top four,
okay,
whose place Collingwood can steal. So it's Richmond and Collingwood currently tied on 56 points. Richmond play Brisbane next week, so they can really pull the handbrake, the Tigers. Collingwood could take a top four spot. They'd probably travel first week. Very good against West Coast in that first final last year, so they'll have some confidence on the road.
Darcy Moore is back next week, you think?
Believe so, and then Tagoe for the first final. So they're really making sure Tagoe will be cherry ripe. I think they do a lot of Saturday morning sessions to try and replicate that match intensity so that he will be up to speed.
Let's hear Nathan Buckley and his thoughts on finals for the Pies.
We want to finish top four. And we've got to, I suppose our part in that is winning games and winning them as well as we possibly can. So we need a few results to go our way, either tomorrow or next weekend. But, we've got Essendon in 6 days' time. We've really got to narrow our focus on that and keep executing, the footy that we believe we're capable of and building towards whatever September looks like for us.
Braden Sire, the issue during the week for the Pies, ends up being sort of front and back page as it would in this town. I personally think Jay-Z, any man that plays a local game of basketball under an assumed name of fill-in,
not bad,
should have no penalty at all.
Yeah.
I just think for the name that he rolled out.
Yeah. Pretty stupid, really, though, however, to be out of the team injured at the time and to have had a pretty poor year. There's a question mark on his preparation, his dedication. So that's the big knock on him. But you're right, was humorous name. He goes out.
I think the point there, I don't think it was him that came up with the name. I think it was one of his teammates. At the basketball club.
I think he
still liked it.
He's biggest,
still good though. Yeah. Still creative.
His biggest
you can't be that clever and then walk in with your Collingwood tracksuit on. No. He's to play the game
and your number on the back.
His biggest sin, boys.
With your name.
He's lying to Jeff Walsh about it. So he was.
Oh, Walsh would have been happy about that. I haven't heard the story. He would have been happy.
He was initially quizzed about it and understand. He said, no, that wasn't me. I was just sort of shooting some hoops at halftime. There was nothing competitive. Jeff Walsh found out the truth of the matter, and as I understand it, he went absolutely bananas. Now, Jeff Walsh is one of the most intimidating people in football. When he's happy, Howie, he's having a good day, he can be pretty gruff.
Well, he came in here on a Sunday, and you were sitting right in the corner like baby. You had nothing to say to Walsh.
That was one of our best interviews of the year, and I was a strong contributor in that, Howie. But I'm told
Clark was in the fetal position in the corner before he came in.
Let's review the tape. I was the only one asking anything decent about Jade Stevenson.
Please. Oh, here we go.
The issue is
you've just dislocated your shoulder, pat yourself on the back.
Does he? Well, we sort of Howie set the tone early. It's fair to say. Is he in Collingwood's best 22, Braden Sire?
Not in their best 22, I don't think. But he's in their 22 at the moment because clearly they haven't got anywhere near their best 22 available to them. So, it's silly. Players do all sorts of stuff that they're not meant to do in the off season. We saw Ollie Wines go water skiing. I water ski every year, Rocket. You expect them to have a life outside, but during the football season,
especially with a calf injury, you think you can't play basketball.
And given that you've got an injury, it's just silly.
Let's have a listen to Nathan Buckley and what he had to say on the Braden Sire issue last night.
Yeah, we've spoken to Braden, and he's spoken to the group, and what is quite a marginal action, I suppose, has got a lot of coverage. But he's been sanctioned and he understands that what he did was not a great decision and he's, we'll put our support behind him now and he's still part of our campaign and needs to get back on track, train well, play well in the VFL next week and continue to push to, be a positive impact on the rest of our 2019 campaign.
What was the sanction?
He's been fined $5,000 and he's doing some community work each week, one night a week each week for the rest of this year.
Is he eligible for AFL selection?
Yep. Yeah, we need all hands on deck.
It's an expensive game of basketball, $5,000.
The punishment, he's got to referee the local basketball.
Oh, come on, JC. Has anyone in this box, yes, diverted here, ever done anything under an assumed name? I have, which I'm quite willing to divulge.
What is it?
I was not a very good cricketer, and South Africa were out here probably 7-8 years ago, Duck, and a good mate of mine was captain of the Essendon Cricket Club, Craig Berger. He said, mate, come down, because we need first bowlers to bowl to the South Africans in the nets before Boxing Day. And he said, you come down, we might get you a bowl. So I had to go down, and I had to fill in my name as basically the Essendon opening bowler, and then spent an hour and a half bowling to the South Africans in the nets.
How'd that go?
Oh, I reckon I probably
got your bowl pie?
No, I got through the leggies.
Did you?
Well, I reckon, I was worried that I was going to land one on the roof of the net when Jacques Callis was batting, which wouldn't have been good. All the De Villiers was there as well, JP Duminy. I reckon I got through 20 overs and got one for about 190, but I claim I got Neil McKenzie, the opening batsman.
How was the arm and the shoulder at the end of that?
Yeah, no, I didn't pull up that well.
I reckon I've probably booked the odd hotel under it.
Now we're getting to the nub of it.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
All yours, big boy.
Yeah, it's a massive game we've got in front of us today, boys. Can't wait to tune in to you guys. Absolutely carve this one up. But will it be on the front page of the Herald Sun tomorrow? I'm not sure. I think it could be a picture of Jared Ruffett. He could still be the big story in this town over the next 12 hours as Hawthorn prepare to take on Gold Coast.
Hang on, what was that? Jared Ruffett what?
Jared Ruffett could still be the big story in this town over the next 12 hours.
Why? Because he's retiring?
Because it's his last game. And we're going to see scenes in that match which are going to be
iconic.
Terrific. Yeah, which will go down in the annals because he's going to kick goals, Rocket. and his teammates are going to mob him, and it's going to be an absolute reflection of the respect and standing that this man has in the game. But they are still unbelievably in the finals hunt. If they can beat West Coast next week and other results go their way, the Western Bulldogs fall over, Hawthorn can play finals. Howie.
So you're telling me there's still a chance Ruffy could win a fifth premiership?
there is a slim chance. Now, how is this going to play out this afternoon, Duck? Because his teammates, the emotional connection, we want him to feed him and get him a bag at every opportunity. But Clarko will be wanting him to follow team rules. How are they going to juggle that?
Yeah, well, I know for a fact when Clarko first started coaching, Dicko was telling me that there was someone, I can't even remember who it was, but retiring, and the message was get the ball to him. You know, let's get him some goals late.
A bag.
Look, Hawthorn are going to beat the Gold Coast. There's no question about that.
Will it be party time?
I think it'll be, depending on the situation, it won't be until late in the game. But if Ruffy hasn't hit the scoreboard or hasn't had a great influence, and
I think it's more that rather than the bag.
No, that's right. And Hawthorn, then they would like to get him a goal or two or whatever it may be, the situation. But, we all like to see, you know, guys like Ruffy go out in style. There's no doubt about that. I'm not sure it's the biggest story in town.
You don't reckon?
But
you reckon if you don't, we're going to be on the front page of the Herald Sun tomorrow?
I think there's...
Oh, obviously, you know it's going to be.
Yeah, well, there's
well, it's a lot
of
one.
There's a lot of other players that have also made great contributions to this game of ours that are also playing there. It was interesting to see Jordan Lewis, Howie, who has made the same contribution that Ruffy has to the game, same premierships, all of that. And he's chosen, he had his family there all the other night. And
Ruffy was there the other
night. Yeah, and Ruffy was there to support him. And he's gone about it in a way that he just wants to do it in his way. And there's going to be no fanfare. And I think you'll find that just before the last game next week, he'll say, yes, I am retiring. So, you know, everyone's different. Ruffy's had a lot more... I think the fact that, yeah, no, there's been a lot more around it because everyone's been talking about will he get one. And the fact that Clarko sort of said, well, maybe not, maybe that's turned it into the biggest story. Now that he's got one, I think, you know, we can all sort of take a deep breath and sit back and celebrate his career like the others who are retiring.
Jay-Z, very, very proud man, very, very proud footballer. Joe Ruffhead will be approaching the game thinking, right, I need to get in there. I need to turn this on because there's another game next week against the West Coast Eagles. Surely that's the way Jared Ruffhead is approaching it. What does he need to do
exactly
to get another game next week
and then
potentially
does.
A final?
Mm-hmm. What's the conversation there, though? Has he been actually given this game with a view that he internally, have you heard anything that this will be it?
No, I think Clarko's been very horses for courses, as you've said.
So it's open for him if he plays well this week and is a chance for next week.
And Mitch Lewis injured at the minute, so we'll see how he pulls up next week. So there absolutely could be a spot. If they're playing for a finals berth, as a Hawthorn player, I'd want to play next to Jared Ruffhead, personally.
I know you're right for the Herald Sun, so you have some sort of insight into it. But I reckon if the Tigers were to beat the Eagles today and Dusty or Lynch or one of those had a big game, I reckon they might be the story rather than someone that's retiring.
Could be a double banger. Rocket, I want to ask you about what's happening behind the scenes at Gold Coast. They're making a big concerted ploy to get some of that Hawthorn Premiership fabric up there in the Sun. So we speak of Jared Ruffhead, Sean Burgoyne in an on-field role, also Isaac Smith potentially, Paul Puopolo, Grant Birchall. Is that bringing up some of these Hawthorn legends? Can that be something which helps boost that off-field personnel?
Yes, it can be. There's no doubt. But they'd want to, I think, two things with it. Depends how many they want to get, whether they're canvassing five to try and get one or two. One is obviously the off-field, and you'd think they'd obviously all help off-field, but they'd want to be able to play some footy. No, so with a Grant Birchall, his body's going to stand up. Sean Burgoyne's playing really well, whether he wants to finish his career at Hawthorn. Obviously, they'll offer him 3 or 4 years with an off-field role. But I think it's got some merit. It's really got some merit. But they don't want to then have 3 or 4 of them as well and have 3 or 4 really old players. I think I like the model of having one or two of them, then try and get some 24, 25, 26-year-olds. Trade, if they're going to get a priority pick, trade that to try and get some talent in that's going to be there for a minimum 5 years, probably 8 or 9 years.
Smith's the one to watch here, Howie, because he can make that really meaningful on-field contribution and also get Hawthorn I don't know, what's he worth? Top 25 pick or a second round pick?
Second round.
Something like that.
That's at best. As a 30-year-old, you wouldn't give him more.
Yeah, so that is something that can be of significant use to Hawthorn. I want to talk about the St Kilda coaching race. You mentioned that earlier. Brett Ratten, I mean, it's hard not to get caught up in the week-to-week sort of aspect of this, but if they brush aside Carlton yesterday, he wins 4 out of 5 games, you'd think that's a pretty complete application for the job. As it turns out, Carlton gets up, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this process plays out. So as I understand it, Brett Ratten's already had a conversation with the club. I don't think he's a certainty to get it yet. Rats is as impressive as he has been. Rob Harvey's the one to watch here. So highly respected at Collingwood. I believe he'll have his interview most likely this week. So Robert Harvey hasn't had his interview with the club.
Hasn't.
Yesterday, hasn't. So Rob Harvey will speak to the Saints Power Breakers. I believe that will be this week. And I don't know, could yet be the bob of the head. Between those two guys. So
he'd have every right to be confident, Robert Harvey, wouldn't he? Gee's got some glowing endorsements in the last couple of days from those that have worked with him.
Well, Buck says he leans on him tactically very heavily. He says that Robert Harvey watches more game vision from more angles than anyone he's ever known. So he doesn't have probably the pizzazz in front of the cameras, the media stuff. But do you have to have that in footy these days? If you just keep winning games, do you need to be able to sell the message in camera when you're getting the 4 points every week?
No, I think the main thing is to be able to coach and be able to get your players to play well and build the relationships and build the team, I suppose, chemistry and synergy, et cetera, et cetera. And I think Robert, that's not his strength of his, but I think that'll grow as far as the camera. He'll become more comfortable. I think he just wants to be humble, do his job, and he's thinking about, oh, if I say the wrong thing, it'll be misinterpreted. But I think that'll improve. I don't think that's a big knockout factor.
And is it overshadowed by the fact that St Kilda would get one of its favourite sons back? So it's been a bit of a vexed issue with Vossi and Hurdy. Didn't quite work out there. Is there a bit of a knock on that now? Or no, would St Kilda fans warmly welcome the chance?
I think they would. I think the difference is he's been 11 years away and he's been at 3 clubs. He's done a great apprenticeship. He's improved each year because I was with him at Collingwood and I was really impressed with him.
Yep.
He's certainly going to have a tough conversation. That's what people don't realise. He's quite strong. He just needs, and I think over the years, you know, he's got a very strong thought on footy and knows his game, where the other ones jump straight in from playing, might have had a year or two, and then straight into coaching their club, which I think you just need that break and you need that gap. And he's been away a long time. There's no one there really that he's been involved with before.
If he was to, can you see the situation that Brett Ratten, let's say Robert Harvey, was to get the job?
Or a combo.
Could you see Brett Ratten still staying at St Kilda under Robert Harvey? Could that possibly happen?
I think so. There's no other senior vacancies and he's happy at St Kilda. He's on a good wicket there. Maybe they get the best of both worlds. It's not a bad call, Howie.
Is the discussion, because it changes week to week, and I must admit I was scratching my head when people were calling into account John Worsfold's situation when his team was still with a chance to playing finals. So a win yesterday, Essendon plays final. Is that conversation, if there was ever that conversation, is that just scrubbed away now and put into the fish and chip wrappers?
Oh, gee, it's a fascinating situation at Tullamarine, isn't it? I mean, I always saw finals as a bit of a pass mark for the Bombers. And you're right, he responded, and the team responded under fierce scrutiny last night. That has to be one of the wins of the season, but a very weird one. Rocket, how can Freo win contested possession by 50, clearances by 30, free kicks by a heap as well, I think, and then still go down? Like, it just shows how much Fremantle have got an issue turning the ball over, and Essendon, as they do, capitalised on the rebound.
Yeah, I think that's their biggest issue is their ball movement. A, efficiency going forward, B, generating enough shots at goal. And if the pressure's not there from the opposition, they can do that. But once the pressure's there, they really struggle with it. They go in maybe defensive mode and they really hone in on the contested side and the stoppage side. But as we said about Melbourne last year, and you talk about Melbourne this year, that everyone goes to the contest. It's not the be on end all. It's a vital component, but there's two or three components. It's just not one component. If you just concentrate totally on contested ball and or stoppages, you're still not going to win games.
Talking points in South Australia from that perspective, Howie, Ken Hinckley, horrid loss, Port Adelaide last night, and Dom Pike. What's going on in Adelaide? Duck, you got any insight on what's happening with the Crows? Because that was awful last night.
Yeah, no idea. They're one of the, you know, we've talked about Melbourne where they sit, but the Adelaide Crows, they've been as disappointing as anyone. Given where, because the way I look at it is expectation. I think we all expected the Crows to bounce back from the year before. And they just haven't been able to do it, Rocket. So they're they've got as many questions about them and their footy club. And the other, the sad thing about Adelaide, we know how many players they've lost over the years, Rocket, the players that have wanted to leave for varying different reasons. You hear so much noise around a number of other players right now that may want to get out of Adelaide. That's the concern for that footy club.
We get a new member of the team today, which we're very excited about.
Yep.
He reminds me of Mickey Roberts because he's played for just as many, many clubs, this man. Played for Adelaide, Sydney and Collingwood on debut to call footy on Triple M today after dominating the airwaves elsewhere in the last couple of years. Tony Armstrong, welcome to you, Tone.
Thanks, Howie. Good to be here, guys.
Hey, great to have you here. We'll get to the footy in a moment, but how are you feeling about your first call? How's your preparation been this morning? Have you stuck to your structures and processes and plans?
I've been very studious, yes. Listening to the great Barry Denner. He's told me all about you. He's warned me, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, so no, I'm looking forward to it.
We can't wait to have you calling. Tone will be calling the action in just over 15 minutes' time. The Blues have another win yesterday, Jay-Z. And congratulations to you as well. I really enjoyed your article with Paddy Cripps. Where'd you do it? Did you do it in person with Paddy?
Yep, did it at the club on Tuesday. I just found him so open. So he spoke about the difficult week when Brendan Bolton was sacked, replaced by David Teague, and just all the doubts that were in his mind. He was really open about that. You know, how much things had been weighing on him. And that week where he said it got to the Thursday, and he said probably just emotionally and mentally more than anything else, he wasn't up for the game. But then, as it turns out, 48 hours later, he played the best game of his career against Brisbane at Marvel Stadium to get to Carlton off the canvas, 4 goals and 38 possessions. And I'm just so impressed by him every time I speak to him, Duck. I know you're...
Why is that? What type of cat is he?
He's just someone I would follow. You know, he's just straight up. He's really warm. You know, he gives you a chance. Clearly, some footballers can be very distrusting of people like me and be very shut off. He's very warm, very genuine, but very straight. I mean, he spoke about Mitch McGovern and sort of said, look, I had the problem when I first arrived at Carlton. I was a bit overweight and I had to do a lot of work on that. We were straight up with Gov. He's got to meet the standards. And he just nailed it in 20 seconds. So I'm just so impressed by him.
No, he's a star. I think he'll be All-Australian captain this year in his first year as captain.
The Cripper. Nice.
Well, his first year as captain, he's had an unbelievable year. And the reason why I think he will be is because of the way he plays. He's a match winner. I think there are a lot of on-ballers at play that are accumulators, and they can beat you by accumulating, but he can actually grab a game by the scruff of the neck, Rocket, and say, and he lifts his teammates around him. So, been a very good leader in his first year.
Oh, he has, and I think that game epitomised the one you're talking about, the Brisbane one, where he dragged him over the line. But even before that, when they were struggling for victories, everyone was talking about he's carrying the team on his shoulders and where's the support coming from? And for him to do that at such a young age, show that he's got great leadership qualities.
Chance for the Brownlow, Duck? I know you and Rocket were keen on him as the season progressed.
Yeah, I'll change my mind on the Brownlow. I think it's going to be a four-way tie.
Oh, four-way tie?
Yeah, wow. Don't you reckon there's a... You could throw a blanket over six guys that have got genuine chances.
Who's your quad tie?
He's one of them.
Cripps, who else?
Oh, we've got Cripps, you've got Fife,
Danger.
Got Kelly, you've got Neil. There's a good group. There's
Danger
a good group.
Grundy.
Yeah. No, Ruckman don't poll anymore. But I think that go back to Luke Darcy when he was favourite. He'll tell you 4 votes and he'd organised his own party.
With his family and live crosses to his pub, Duck.
I thought he was going to win it. He didn't get anywhere.
One of the more egotistical performances I've seen in the history of the AFL, VFL, that one.
But I'm actually, for the first time in a while, looking forward to the Brownlow, because I reckon in the last few years we've had the guy, you know, everyone's known who's going to win. This year we've got no idea.
Are you going?
Am I going? No chance.
We've got to take a break. Everything okay with you and your second contract? I noticed there's a new boss.
I didn't even go or want to go when I was favourite 5 times.
Have you met the boss yet, Duck, the new boss? Warburton?
No, I haven't, Howie.
Okay, I'd be concerned about that too, because if you have... Shut up! The footy's on Triple M! Triple M rocks footy.